Making this film, I've come to realize just how many of my films have dealt with the abandonment and the neglect of children, and that my search always comes back to the same place.
Margot Nash is a veteran filmmaker whose formation was marked by 1970s radicalism, the feminist movement, and the experimental film scene. She was also an actor with the Melbourne Theatre Company and the Pram Factory's Australian Performing Group. Her new film, The Silences, is a personal memoir about her mother, a cinematic mosaic of family photographs, images from her own films, and documentary footage. It tells the story of a young woman who had to put aside youthful ambitions for life as a performer in order to deal with the responsibilities of raising a family with an abusive husband traumatised by World War II. I wonder how many Australians of Margot's generation will recognise the frustrations of this story and the shadow of the war that looms over this family. It's a compelling film about family secrets and revelations that is, in part, also a fascinating reflection on the source of all that anger that drove Margot Nash and others like her in her generation to go on and become such an important cultural force in this country. Here's Margot Nash.
I first wrote the film as a feature drama, and it was actually very hard to get it financed. And I was working full-time at the university, and so it was hard to put the kind of time in that you need. But the story wouldn't leave me alone, and I began to wonder if I could tell it as a low-budget documentary and just work on it quietly. And I started to think, what did I have? And I knew I had photographs. I had wonderful family photographs, and I had some oral history recordings that I had made for other reasons, and a little bit of sort of home movie. I'd done some sort of research videos for the drama, the feature drama, never thinking I'd ever use them in the film, and then I ended up using them. And then one day I had this, you know, the light bulb moment, and I thought, I've got my films. I've got all my body of work as a filmmaker going back to the 1970s, where I have drawn on my story and on my childhood to create images, sometimes dream images, sometimes literal images of things that had happened when I was a child. And because the film's very much focused on early childhood. And my father was mentally ill, and that was a big thing when I was growing up. And I did literally model the character of the father in my feature film Vacant Possession, which I made in 1994, on my father. But the Vacant Possession isn't a true story, but I literally recreated a few things that had happened when I was a child.
Where are they? I left some very important papers in my briefcase, and they're gone! What have you done with them? I know you've taken them!
Mummy wouldn't do that, Daddy. She wouldn't.
And there are some wonderful moments with the photos. I mean, there's that wonderful wedding photo where you point out, and we realise as an audience, you point out that there's only one set of parents there accompanying the bride and groom. Why was that? And there's another photo, you and your sister and a doll in the middle. And I won't give away what that's about, but that suggests another penny drop moment, really. One of the overriding impressions of your family from the film is that it's a family that is struggling in some ways under the shadow of big geopolitical sort of stuff and the trauma that that wreaks on individual people. Your mum comes from a middle-class background, but very much a kind of product of this decaying
colonial aristocracy,
I think you refer to it. But there's a certain trauma that comes along with that. And then your father, of course, was mentally ill, but the war didn't help him at all. I mean, he was very traumatised by that experience. And I'm wondering if you talk about yourself as an angry young woman in some ways, an anarchist, very politically kind of motivated as in your sort of 20s and 30s. Could you have made this film with such insight back then, or has it taken all these years, do you think, to reflect on that family trauma?
I couldn't have made it back then. I didn't understand things the way that I have. I understand things a lot better now. I think when one's young, one is within the grip of things and one's trying to find one's voice. And I certainly was, out there trying to sort of find my voice somewhere along the line and reject where I'd come from. But it catches up and...
A bit like Sofia Turkowitz's recent film, Once My Mother. Your film reminds me a little bit of that in the way that it's made by a filmmaker in a similar space, I think, looking back at the relationship with the parents.
Looking back and trying to understand what had happened, because as a young person, Sophia was, very ashamed of her mother, who was an illiterate, refugee, and she revalues her mother in that process. And I think I went through a similar process with my mother, who came from a different social class but was very difficult and quite cruel at times, and I felt very wounded by her, and I was angry with her, and I needed to go back and understand what had happened to her that had made her like that in order to actually forgive her and understand her in some way.
You went to Zurich at a certain point. You received a grant to go to Zurich,
yes,
and work on this project. And there it was that you sort of it sort of came together. You sort of loaded these things into a computer and played around.
I did, and started working with the images and writing the narration, which drives the film. So that process of writing, I wanted to work with what Jean-Claude Carrière calls the secret language of film, and to see how images can be cut together and how you can work intuitively and poetically and let images speak between the cuts and say new things. And I wanted to play. Often documentary filmmakers go out in a discovery-driven way. They don't quite know what they're going to find.
I imagine your process must have been all about, via the images and sounds you had, kind of streamlining or finding the through lines through all of that.
Try to find the stuff that really is important. And, for example, the first cut that I did, when it came to World War II, was very dominated by my father's story, which we'd heard a lot about growing up. And as we know, what happened to men during World War II was, very distressing and big, powerful stories. But the story of my mother and what happened to her during World War II was one of those stories that had just slipped through the net, and lived outside cultural memory. Nobody had talked about it, and yet that was the heart of my story, and I had to go back and balance my father's story. I didn't want to not tell that, but I wanted to go back and find my mother's story and really go and find out what had happened to her, because that's where the heart of the story in the silences lies.
Because she was a grieving mother in some ways, or in a very real way. She was a very frustrated woman in that way that many women of her generation, and in a way that women continue to be often, frustrated in terms of her personal ambitions for herself.
Well, I think World War II was an incredible period because many women, like my mother, went into the workforce for the first time. And she actually had a job during World War II doing a radio program in Christchurch, she was in her prime and she was having a wonderful time, and then tragedy struck, which I won't talk about now, and that's what really, she was at that point when she was about to become a different person and it all fell apart. And it's a terribly sad story. And then when my father came back from the war, he had post-traumatic stress and it was all just a great big mess, and she just became really stoic and would not let the tragedy of all these things get her down, but it made her a very difficult person.
Filmmaker Margot Nash, her documentary The Silences screens at Sydney's Cremorne Orpheum and Melbourne Cinema Nova from next week, with limited screenings in other states to follow. Check your guides.